Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Pastor Chris Quintana. And certainly we've never talked to Chris. I've talked to him just very briefly, but he is recommended very strongly to us by one of our favorite guests, and that is, of course, Joanna Michelson, who wrote the book The Beautiful Side of Evil, and certainly is featured in our four-tape set on the supernatural, and we actually have a DVD that we're going to be offering very soon of a talk that Joanna Michelson gave. But Joanna said that she really thought that Pastor Quintana, had a great, very important message. And it has to do with what we would call the emerging church. Now, he is, of course, with one of the Calvary chapel units, but he's basically an ordained minister. But he's concerned about what's happening to Christianity. And I think we should all be concerned about what's happening to Christianity. Why do we have the progressive moral breakdown in America today? Why haven't we been able to reverse it? Well, I think the church bears a large bit of responsibility for what goes on in society, and if we look at what's going on in society, somebody isn't doing a very good job. Pastor Quintana, thank you so very much for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to doing this with you.
Well, we're just going to let you pick up the story, and certainly you've come with the highest recommendations from Joanna Michelson, who's one of our favorite people. So if Joanna says that you're going to do a great job, I'm sure you will. Tell us about your concern as an ordained minister about what's happening to the church today.
Well, as I heard your introduction, I think that you put it into a very good context. The thing that's interesting, and I know that I've heard your show on a number of occasions, and even looking through the website, you see the things that you are interested in topically. And most of us who have been, consumers of prophetic things have often looked at the geopolitical things that are taking place or societal degradation, those kind of things. And oftentimes we forget that the church itself will be in pretty dire straits prior to Jesus returning. And of the last several years, it's become evident that the church is really undergoing a real metamorphosis away from, we believe what the Bible says, we do as it instructs, and we've come to a place now where it seems that we've become very program-oriented in churches, and we've moved away from expositional teaching of the Bible. And we're at that place, I believe, as we saw in Revelation 3:20, where Jesus is standing on the outside of the church, Laodicea, in this particular place, and it says that he's standing at the door and knocking. So even a visual picture of that is that he's on the outside looking in, and we see a lot of churches that talk a lot about Jesus, but you'll go and listen to the things that they have to say, and they won't tell you what it takes to have a personal relationship with him. And this seems to be the problem that is infesting the church. We've become very program-oriented, and the churches are trying more to be a place of entertainment than they are introducing the new believers to what it is to know who Jesus is, what he's done for them. And we're moving rather into modes and methods and big productions and all the rest. And people can identify with a brand, but there is nothing that is required of them to have a personal relationship with the Lord, as the Bible clearly teaches.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that we need to understand that God does rule in the affairs of men, and we have to be in constant touch with Him.
Amen to that. I know that we look at the spectrum all the way across the board. What we're seeing put out there is from the most charismatic of traditions to the most conservative, we've turned away from teaching our congregations the Bible, and we're instead leading them in experiential types of Christianity. So for the ones that are the very conservative, there's a whole new mysticism that's taking place, and whether it's the type of prayer or whether it's their own meditative times or whatever they do socially, it all has to do, and it revolves around, in some traditions, they just call them disciplines. And yet it becomes something that you almost do by rote, and you get used to doing the same old things over and over, and you practice your Christianity, therefore you become spiritual. And then to the other extreme, in the very charismatic traditions, there is a new movement towards dominionism or building of a kingdom and all kinds of signs and wonders and things that are taking place. But all of these were actually spoken about in the Bible as warnings of the condition of the church as we approach the return of Jesus. And I'm fully convinced that that is where we are currently. And across the board, what we find is that straight across the board gospel preaching, it is the blood of Jesus that is required to reconcile mankind. That is becoming a lost message within the churches, and who would have ever thought we'd find that ourselves at that place?
Well, we're told, you know, and I guess it's not, I'm not a theologian, so you correct me if I'm wrong, but it's Second Thessalonians, I think it's 2, that there's going to be this great falling away before the man of sin is exposed. And boy, I can just see this falling away today. I mean, so many of our young people, yeah, they go to church, but they really don't believe. I mean, the idea that Christ was really God, that Christ really died for our sins, and that we have to have a personal relationship with him, that people really, of course, they seem to go through all the actions, but there doesn't seem to be a deep personal commitment to the message of the gospel.
And you know what? It's such an interesting thing that you say that, because what you have, that's a void that has been left by the churches not instructing the youth as they come up. And what you have is a very high energy, very engaging, whole new movement of churches. They go by different categorizations. Some would refer to the seeker friendlies.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Pastor Chris Quintana, and basically he's talking about the changes in the church, and certainly there seem to be a lot of changes in the whole approach of Christianity, and so much of the emphasis is on personal experience. You've got to experience God. Well, I'm not quite sure what that means. It means some people really do have supernatural experiences, but I mean, people are simply going, but these are not things that we bring on. These are these where God moves and moves miraculously. Pastor Chris was just talking about this idea that we have this new means of sort of marketing Christianity, the seeker-friendly church. But you pick up the story there.
Sure, and marketing is a really good way of putting it. What we see is that so many churches have moved away from the straightforward, let's train up our children in the way that they ought to go, as Proverbs tells us. Part of that is making sure that they can identify what the true gospel is, the idea that, yes, Jesus came and he was born, he lived, he died, he rose again, he ascended, and he's coming again. This was what we had always been teaching our children, and then the churches quit doing that because, as Paul says, the preaching of the cross is an offense. And so you had a number of churches thinking, well, why don't we just kind of get away from that particular message because it drives so many people away. And so that becomes a very youth-oriented. You look at the biggest churches around anywhere in the country, and I defy you to hear a clear presentation of the gospel over those pulpits. But they'll do a fine job of the worship. I mean, it is studio-quality worship that you see, and lots of lights and comfortable seating and drama ministries and all the rest of it, all the trappings of things that are very sensational to the eyes and to the senses, and yet it's lacking a message, but it is really connecting with the people because it's non-confrontational and they can identify with a particular brand, as I said earlier, in this case Christianity, but they don't have to deal with the messy details of, well, what about my sin and the idea of Jesus, the innocent, paying the price for my guilt and those things that have always been just the most essential doctrines of the church. They are now things that are, we have to look long and hard to find a church that's willing to teach them.
Well, of course, you know, the idea that we're a sinner, you know, you don't like to think you're a sinner. You want to come out of church feeling good about yourself. Whereas, of course, the traditional message, you came out convicted that you were a sinner, but fortunately you had salvation. Well, right now, of course, we have a lot of people coming out of church that they just feel so good. They've been entertained. They've seen a lot of music that has a tremendous appeal to people, but it doesn't necessarily honor God. But you pick up the story.
And see, this is where we are, though, currently in the church. And as you said, people just don't want to be confronted. But I kind of look at it as when Paul was talking to the Galatians, we've become almost a works-oriented kind of a church. How do you know that you're a Christian? Well, look at the things that I do. Look at my experiences. When the very simple answer to that question, how do you know that you're saved? Well, you've believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and His blood atones for you. That's how you know that you're a Christian. But there are so many people that are attending the Christian churches, quote-unquote, of this country, and they'll point to the things that they are doing in their flesh as evidence of some kind of spiritual transformation that has taken place, and that's just not what Scripture teaches us.
You're absolutely right, and I think that, I'll never forget one time going to a meeting back in Washington, D.C., where we were interviewing all the Republican candidates for the presidency. This was 1999. And James Kennedy was there from the Corowitz Church. And suddenly we all, of course, asking the people, the various candidates for, you know, things having to do with politics. And James Kennedy asked everybody, you know, if you were standing before the gates of heaven and St. Peter was to ask you why you should be allowed to enter the church, enter heaven, what would you say? And, of course, the answer was, because Christ died for my sin. It was amazing, you know, to hear some of the presidential candidates saying, well, it's an, I've been a good man, I've done a lot of good things. And of course, James Kennedy saying, that's the wrong answer. But he certainly, it was a good lesson for me, because, of course, that's what it's really all about.
Indeed it is. And, you know, I'm, again, going back to the thing with Paul and the Galatians, I find myself kind of this baffling dilemma of people in a church that will not even recognize the essential doctrinal things. How do you know that you're even a believer? Well, those are very easily established by just simply looking at the Word of God, but that has become so passé in many churches, you don't even need to bring your Bible anymore. And I was talking with a friend of mine earlier today, and what we have done is there are, and these are people who you can read their books. If you just go to any local Christian bookstore, you can find these people's books on the shelves. But what we're seeing is a real assault against what we would consider as immovable, not open to debate, cardinal doctrines of the faith. And when Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 1, he says, I marvel that you're turning away so soon from all you in grace of Christ to a different gospel. And he says, really, it's not even another gospel. It's just what you're following after here is something that has no power whatsoever to save you. And, you know, later in that book, he talks about, do you think that since you have begun in the Spirit that you will now be made perfected in the flesh? And our churches are consumed with what things can we do outside of our churches in order to reach out to the community, to do all of these things and relate to the culture and all these, you know, we hear these euphemisms used by the churches all the time. And my very simple question back to them is, hey, great, if you want to give a homeless person a blanket and some food, I'm all for it. If you want to go elsewhere in the world and deal with people's medical needs and build houses for them, wonderful. But what is the context for why you do what you do? Are you giving them the gospel that can save their soul? Because this life will be over at some point, and our focus as a church needs to be on the eternal as we meet the day-to-day needs of people. There needs to be, it's not an either-or kind of a proposition, and yet that seems to be the focus of so many of the churches nowadays.
I think you're absolutely right, and Sydney, it's not a matter of feeling good. It's your personal relationship with our Lord that really counts, and this constant realization that we're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen to that. What you and I are doing right now, in the conversation that you and I have, oftentimes what people will, the counter that comes up right after this kind of a thing is they say, well, you know, you're being divisive, and you're causing rifts in the body of Christ. And boy, you know, I get so tired of hearing that I'm not myself interested in pointing the finger at anyone, but we are told to examine the doctrine of people. And I think of Paul, and this is one of those things that just gets missed in all of the static. But if you consider the fact Paul wrote all of those epistles, and to each one of those epistles, he's writing to a group of churches that have some kind of doctrinal error that needs correction. Now, some people would look at that nowadays and say, well, that's confrontational because you're telling them that what they're doing is wrong. Well, if it's a spiritual error that you're engaged in, then the most loving thing that you can do is come alongside someone and say, you're in error here. And it's not about trying to point the finger at people and belittling or anything else. It is the ultimate love to show to someone else to take them from doctrinal error. And, you know, our biblical mandate is there. We are told, I think of what we see in Jude verse 3. He says, I was diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, but I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith that was once and all delivered to the saints. It was once and for all. It's not to be reimagined and reworked. It is the gospel, and it was written and it was completed in the work that Jesus did. We don't have to remake the wheel. It works just fine the way that it is.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me, of course, you see, we are sort of what we read. You read a book, you evaluate it, and it's the ideas are indelibly recorded in your subconscious. Now, there are so many books out there now that taking Christians away from the traditional Christian message. Certainly, messages, books on the emergent church, and certainly on the church growth movement, and Rick Warren, and all of these things, and certainly the plan for remaking the world. But basically, I got a catalog today, and it was had about 50, 60 new books just off the press, and not one of them looked to me like a traditional Christian book. It was, you know, how you feel better about yourself, and how you feel better about your, your society, and how you make money, and certainly, and then, of course, things by Brian McLaren, and who's one of the leaders of this whole emergent church business, and this mysticism that's out there, and how you can contact yourself through mysticism and yoga and all these things, and these are supposedly Christian books. And as I'm looking at this, I'm saying, I mean, where are the traditional books that are telling the traditional message that was put out by Charles Spurgeon and other great ministers of a bygone era, and you just don't see them? Or you go into the average Christian bookstore and you see all these books, but they're not giving the Christian message. And it's almost as if somebody wanted to dilute down the Christian message so that in all this verbiage, you'd never be able to find out what Christianity was all about. Our telephone number, of course, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or a comment, our guest is Pastor Chris Quintana, who, of course, is talking about the way that they are changing the gospel, almost like a great falling away taking place, almost as if this is the great falling away that was prophesied 2,000 years ago. before the man of sin would return. Go ahead, Chris.
Well,
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verky water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verky water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Of Christianity today, of course, some of the people we love Reverend Lutzer, certainly up there at the Moody Bible Church, or Robbie Zacharias. We listen to him religiously. Of course, they're both on our own little radio station here. And there really are some wonderful, wonderful ministers out there. But there seems to be, certainly within many of our churches, a move away from the traditional Christian message. Well, let's go to Ron, who's calling us here from Wisconsin. Ron, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, I'm a pastor as well, and I agree with what you men are talking about tonight. It seems like so many times that the issues come back to just exactly what is the gospel, what the gospel is, and and you kind of get a little, sometimes the pastor, you get a little frustrated that you can't sometimes move on and build from that, but yet you can't leave that truth of what the gospel is. And what is it when a person is saved, when they're born again? What is taking place? What happens when a person is born again? Now, of course, the Bible calls that a mystery in John 3, is as the wind blows, but yet it is a work of God. It's the conviction of sin that the sinner comes under by the working of the Holy Spirit, the hearing of the Word of God, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit, the repentance that comes about, and then the faith, I think, of the faith in Christ and His finished work, that verse in Acts 20:21, where Paul said he went from house to house preaching repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just like for you to comment on what I just shared, if you would have anything to add or so forth on that.
Pastor Chris, because remember, I'm not a theologian. I'm just a retired orthopedist. You go right ahead.
Well, I agree with him. And I had a conversation once with a guy actually at a website called Emergent Village, if you're familiar with it. And when we think of the Emergent Church, really that was a phrase that they coined for themselves. A group of people got together, Brian McLaren among them, just for the listeners if they're not familiar, Tony Jones, Doug Padgett, had been very involved and really to some extent still are in what they're now calling Emergent Christianity. They keep changing the names. But this point that he was trying to say to me is, well, like what it says in the book of Hebrews, we need to move on to maturity and leave behind those elementary doctrines. And so the silly thing about that is that they think that if you're talking about blood atonement and you're talking about the most basic elements of turning towards Christ and looking upon Him to forgive you of your sins, that if that becomes and stays the focus of the church, that we're never moving on to maturity. And their point is that's the convenient way for them to avoid that, because they don't believe in the whole theory or the doctrine of substitutionary atonement and all the things that go with it. But to myself and to Ron, your caller, we believe that the cross and the most basic of things, recognizing, as Jesus said in the Beatitudes, the poverty of our soul, if that is not always fully in view, we don't know where we've come from. And
that's
so
right.
That has to be your elementary, that is the anchor to your soul, as Hebrews puts it, and then you move on from that point, but you never lose sight of where it is that you got into this walk and this relationship with Jesus. It should be reminded to each person who has ever been born again that every day you live as a condition of His grace because of what He did at the cross. And so that needs to be something, and it can be talked about at every church service, even as you're ministering the deepest parts of Bible studies, because, again, it is the anchor that everything else is attached to that keeps us from falling away.
That's right. And if you miss it there, you miss everything.
Amen.
And I think, of course, you hate to be repetitive, but repetition is very important. And the basic elements of the faith have to be gone over again and again, because in this world we live in, there are so many things to draw us away from the fundamental beliefs in Christianity. And
right.
The realization that there is a supernatural force out there, that Jesus Christ did have supernatural capacity. And the certainty that we should be worshipped Him because He is Lord. Some people thought that Christ was a great guy, but no, He was not just a great guy. He was God incarnate. Such basic things about the faith need to be stressed over and over again. Anything else you'd like to say, Ron, before we let you go?
I just thought of Pilgrim's Progress, Bunyan's book, that last chapter, The Awful End of the Sinner, and that picture of the one wanting to get into heaven, but he missed it because he was ignorant, and he wanted to do it his own way and not God's way of salvation. There were a lot of people, they want to skirt around that.
Hold that thought for a moment.
God bless America, land.
Well, go right ahead, Ron. Did you have, want to say something else before we let
well,
you go?
Yeah, yes. Just emphasizing once again that if people miss salvation in and through Christ alone, they're going to miss it all. Many people, they just have wrong views. And in Matthew 7, where Jesus would say to those who would even do religious works in his name, and he would say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so as preachers, we have to stay with the gospel and preach the word and be faithful and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work of convicting the world, the lost people of the world, of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I just appreciate your guest and his encouragement, and may we be faithful.
God bless. Thanks very much. Appreciate that, Ron. Let's go to Joe, who's calling us from New Jersey. Joe, do you have a question or comment?
Hi, fellas. Well, I'd like to just share a little insight to what I've learned. Christianity has descended to, and I believe it has descended to this level because I believe we are at the end of the church age, which Jesus Christ started. And what I would like to share is that I hear a lot of so-called prophetic theologians come on the air, and they will quote scripture, and they say, well, this is what it means, or that verse means this, and that verse means that. And I want to just share this scripture, which is written in 2 Peter, and it's in verse 20. And it says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. I do not hear from these people who are giving out these answers to Scripture back up any of their ideas with Scripture. This is, and I think we're also descended into Christianity is descended into sign on the dotted line Christianity, and you are saved. And that's basically where I see the whole church age is, and it is descended to this level, and it has actually coming to an end.
Okay, well, Joe, thank you so much. I really appreciate your thoughts, and thanks very much for sharing those views with us. When we get back, I will ask Pastor Chris to comment on that. Bye-bye.
You want me to hang on?
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly our guest is Pastor Chris Quintana. Chris, do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out? Then I'd like your thoughts on what Joe was saying. But do you have a web page or anything you'd like to get out?
Our church is Calvary Chapel of Cyprus. And
Where is that? Is that Southern California there?
Yeah, Southern California. It's Orange County. It's not far from Disneyland, and about 20, 25 miles from Los Angeles. We're out almost in the beach area. So, sunny Southern California. That's where we are.
All right, fine. Now, what do you think about what Joe was talking about?
Well, yeah, again, since the Bible is not seen as the authoritative Word of God by so many people, we see all kinds of things parading themselves as truth. And I honestly, I've got to tell you this, Dr. Stan, I believe that where we are right now in church history is a time of just gross biblical illiteracy. And most people, if they spent the time to know the Word themselves, they would be like Paul said of the Bereans, that they were willing to listen to everything with readiness of heart, but then they searched the Scriptures themselves to see if those things were so. They didn't take anything at face value, and so much of what we see happening in the church would not be the condition that it is if the people just looked at their own Bibles and said, wait a minute, that's not scriptural. You can't back that up. And if the Bible is no longer the authority in all matters of faith, then where are we ultimately going to get right and wrong? And that's one of the biggest movements within the emergent church, is to do away with sola scriptura. And a lady in particular, her name is Phyllis Tickle, is seen as one of the really, really edgy leading lights. She looks like such a nice elderly lady, and yet she says that there's an upheaval within Christianity about every 500 years, and there was the one at the Reformation, and we are now on the cusp of the next one. She said of the Reformation, the bad thing about it was that we removed a flesh and blood pope, and we replaced him with a paper one, meaning the Bible. And so her point is that we're now on the cusp of a new authority, because it's no longer going to be the papacy, and it's not going to be the Bible. It can only be our own experience. We will arbitrate what is right and what is wrong. And this is where we're headed.
Well, you know, because one of the great problems, as you've mentioned earlier, is this whole emphasis on experience. And certainly this is what the monks did. I mean, they wanted to have this experience. They would certainly live a very austere life, hoping through meditation they were going to have some sort of a supernatural experience. Certainly many people get into meditation or into yoga or certainly into walking the labyrinths or putting their mind into some sort of a neutral position, hoping that this spiritual experience would come. Rather than rely upon the word of the Lord, they're looking for an experience to confirm the fact that Christianity is real. And I think that they're opening themselves up to all sorts of truly demonic forces by doing that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Pastor Chris Quintana, and we're talking about what's going on in Christianity today, and are we witnessing a great falling away from the traditional faith? And I really fear that we are. I think that the whole message is changing. I think that the music of the church is changing. I think that has to do with how we feel about what's going on rather than what the scriptures say. And we've got Barbara calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Barbara. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Just kind of a comment. You know, you hear about, you know, the purpose-driven church and how, you know, they go through all of these courses to find out, you know, what your purpose is in life and how you're, you know, to, you know, lead your life and what you're supposed to do. But as I've gone through my life, I have found that along the way, God has always chosen the purpose for me, whether I kind of agreed with it at the time or not. He has always led me to where I'm supposed to go. And I was wondering what you think about that.
Pastor Chris, what are your thoughts? I mean, Barbara,
sure.
You're saying that certainly it's almost as if God has guided her life and not necessarily done what she wanted, allowed her to do what she wanted, but he had a purpose for her life, and this is why she's where she is today.
And this is what God intended, that we would be led by His Holy Spirit. It's what Jesus promised as, you know, in the latter days of His life, the last week of His life, He talked about that when He went away that He would send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to us, and He would lead us in all truth. All truth means that He's the one who is going to determine what is and what is not proper for our lives. What we've done with the purpose-driven or the disciplines, like what Richard Foster wrote, The Celebration of Disciplines, people end up having those more as like a checklist for their lives, and they've so boxed God into such a small, narrow thing that people begin to look at God as more of a program than someone with whom you have a day-to-day vital, it is me, it is Him, He leads me, He guides me, like what David had. David didn't have the purpose-driven life. David didn't have any of those things. He's the one who said that He leads me by the still waters. He's the one who leads us in and He leads us out, brings us back in. He's the good shepherd of John chapter 10, and you don't need a purpose-driven program for that. You don't need anything else. So I would agree with Barbara in this, that it is God who defines for us what is for His will. Paul says that it is He who has both the will and to do of His good pleasure in our lives. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Find out everything that God has for us, that He has designed for our lives, because He has the will and to do of His good pleasure.
But I, you know, one of the big problems we have is our ego. You know, we want to direct things, and it's we want to do it this way, we want to do it that way, and certainly we are individuals, and yet I just think we have to realize, of course, that we're going to have to rely increasingly on God. I do think that one of the good things that may be coming down the line as we begin to see the destruction of this idealistic society we've been living in, this utopian society, is we're all going to have to learn. Oh, really what I've learned over the last 80 years, and that's you're going to have to rely upon the Lord. You're not going to be able to do it on your own. Anything else you'd like to say, Barbara?
No, I just wanted to I really appreciate you substantiating, you know, my thoughts on that, because I'm certainly in some ways doing things I never thought I would be doing at all, and you know, in helping people, and it's been truly an amazing experience.
Well, life is amazing, especially when you let God guide your way. Thanks very much.
It really is. Just one other quick thing. We were talking about, you know, the New Age books, and I can remember when we had a Christian bookstore, and there were many times when I would be looking for, say, a New Age book that somebody would be, you know, telling you about, you know, you really should look into this. And I couldn't find the book anywhere in any of the bookstores or any, and I would walk into the Christian bookstore and be walking down the aisle, and suddenly there would be the book. And I was always astonished that is where I would find the book when I couldn't find it anywhere else.
Now, these were bad books. These were not good books.
No, they were not good books.
Okay, you know, fine.
It was, so anyway, but thank you for having... Pastor Quintana on, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Well, let's go to Paul, who's calling us from Galveston, Texas. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hello, Dr. Stan.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
No complaints. Do you have a question for a comment for our guest?
I sure do. You know, I've been researching for quite a while, and I attend church, and I bring the stuff up, you know, that you and Alex Jones bring up. With pastor, and his response is, "You should write a book on this." I want the pastor's response to this, if I could, please.
I don't know that I fully understand. What type of things would you be writing a book on? What kinds of topic are you referring to?
I don't want to write a book on. I don't have time. You know, life is short.
Well, basically, the minister is sort of putting you off by saying that you should write a book on it. Is that right?
Exactly.
He's not interested in what you're saying, that he suggests you write a book on it. That's sort of saying, like, but don't bother me with that. You write this thing all up. But basically, of course, the thing is that I feel that a lot of ministers do not see how what's happening today is relevant to the Christian faith, and yet I certainly seeing as I see the unfolding of history, it only confirms my Christian faith all the more because I see God's hand in everything that's going on. What would your thoughts on that be, Chris?
Well, as far as people in their congregations, there's another ministry that I participate in. It's more web-based, and I moderate on a Christian message board, and people ask all kinds of questions. And in particular, so many people are saying, "You wouldn't believe what's happening at my church," and they're talking about all the kinds of things that we're discussing tonight. These churches that used to be so solid. But now there's been some major shift, and they go and they talk to their pastor, and most of the time they're brushed off as malcontents or whatever else. You know, if you bring something to a pastor's attention and you can biblically show where, hey, we've got a problem here, I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be leaving churches that maybe they've been going to since they were children, because there is just this shift away from orthodoxy into all of the new program-oriented type of Christianity. So, you know, if what you've brought to him you feel is valid, you should be able to show scripturally where it's incorrect, and if it's falling on deaf ears, then I would say it's you seek the Lord on this and say, "God, what would you have me to do? Do I endure here, or would you lead me somewhere else?" Because if there is error that won't even be recognized, then what other error is going out over the pulpit? It's, of course, to be concerned about.
Okay, anything else, Paul?
Well, let me give you one example. One of them went up to the mountain, and he came down, you know, one Bible will say they were unrestrained, and the other one will say, you know, basically, they were having an orgy and worshiping, you know, the gods that were back in Egypt. And unless you research this, it's hard to understand.
Well, I think that we all have to research the Bible and spend more time in the Scriptures acknowledging that. Hey, well, thank you so very much. I really appreciate your calling. Let's go to Ray, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Hey, Ray, does he have a question or comment? Ray, are you there? I guess we lost Ray. Well, okay, let's see. Is that Ray?
No, I'm here.
Okay, fine. Do you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, I haven't said anything yet.
Oh, no, okay, this is Ray. Okay, go ahead, Ray.
I would like to point out that I firmly believe, as a Catholic, I believe that we're in the apostasy, probably in the middle stages of it, maybe toward the end of it. But I'd like to also say something reassuring, that salvation is for all believers, and that's from Romans 10 and 11. I believe that people should read the Acts of the Apostles, especially Paul and Peter, to understand better what is required of us in order to attain eternal life. I believe that what they did, ultimately, that they sacrificed themselves for their brethren. I know that Peter was told that he would that another hand would lift him whether and take him whether he would or not. I believe that in a sense Christ was crucified through him again when Peter was crucified in the Circus Maximus.
But Ray, Peter was not deified. Certainly there was only one Lord.
God. It's hard to understand. But there's also a very complex situation with the Bible also stating that Peter was the rock on which...
Well, of course, that's
debatable, of course.
That is the great debate between Catholic and Protestant.
Yeah,
but the important thing is your personal relationship with our Lord and the realization that he died for your sin. And if you accept the fact that he is your Lord and that he died for your sin, that is the very essence of Christianity, okay?
Yeah, salvation is for all believers.
Do you have any comment at all, Chris?
Yeah, this is a very simple one. The idea of Christ needing to be crucified again is not what Scripture teaches. The whole book of Hebrews settles this one absolutely. It tells us that when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. When it says that he sat down, he had nothing left to do. And so there isn't anything left for Jesus to do short of his return for his church. Salvation is open to anyone who asks. John 3:16 is the one that everybody knows. And that is very straightforward, whosoever. But he said to Nicodemus in verse 3 that you must be born again, Nicodemus. Nicodemus, not understanding it, says, so do I climb back to my mother's womb for a second trip, or what does this mean? And Jesus says, no, there's a spiritual birth, there is a physical birth.
Yes, I understand.
And that's when he sets him up to say, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes. So whosoever covers everyone who will ask, but salvation, it's such an interesting thing. Heaven is a very exclusive place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes, I know that.
He said, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's exclusive.
Yet
it is open to everyone.
Okay, well,
I don't want to get an argument about it, but I wanted to point out that the Catholic faith embraces the idea that Peter is the gatekeeper of heaven.
Right, says we of course, believe that Christ is the gatekeeper of heaven. But anyway, God bless. Thanks so much, Ray. And let's go to Chris, who's calling us from Michigan. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. How are you?
Doing fine. Do you have a quick question for our guest?
Yeah, actually, I had like two questions, if I could. They're quick, so. The first one is, I just got saved a couple, probably about 6 months ago. Again, and I had backslid years ago, and I had been baptized. I was just kind of wondering if he thinks I should maybe go through the baptism again, or I mean, I've really kind of been thinking about it.
You know, See, baptism, very simply put, the good thing is it sounds very, very much like you realize that your salvation is settled independent of your baptism. Your baptism is something that you do as just an act of obedience, because ultimately what you're saying is that my old man was crucified, and it was crucified with Christ. Now as I come up out of the water, the old man is as dead, and I come back in the newness of life. If you've been baptized before, but you've had this resurgence that's taken place in your life, Jesus is Lord, you're settled, you know, go for it. I, you're in Michigan. I don't know if you do it at a baptismal or if you go find warm enough water, but you do it publicly. And
okay.
The important thing is not the baptism. It's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, acknowledging I'm a sinner and I'm saved by grace. Okay?
And then my other question was, what would you say about dating someone that isn't Christian?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Okay, Chris, you want to know about dating somebody who's not a Christian?
Yeah.
All right, Pastor, Pastor Chris, what are your
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Battle being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. We do hope that if you're in a position to help us, you will. And if you're not in a position to help us financially, that you'll pray for my wife and myself and my staff for our provision and for our protection. We do have a great 4-tape set on called Musical Madness, and it goes into what has happened to the music of the church, and it's got interviews with Jack Wheaton and other people who have analyzed this. We have a great DVD, And it's not really about Christian music. It's about about music as a whole. And it's called They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, a 3-hour, the 4-hour, or a 10-hour version written by our friend Joe Schimmel, I should say, produced. He produced this DVD because, of course, he was in the rock culture for a time. He was writing a lot of lyrics for rock songs, and of course lots of times why the words would come to him, he didn't even know their meaning, but he'd look it up in the dictionary, and yeah, that fits in there just perfect. And then he began to realize that there was a tremendous demonic influence, and that the words to his music were becoming darker and darker, and he suddenly realized that he was becoming possessed. And so he of course got out of the music business. He went to a seminary, became minister, but he's put his talent to producing videos, and this is actually either a video or a DVD. But They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version, is one of the most profound DVDs we have, and certainly we are very, very proud to be able to offer it. We think everybody ought to see it because you can see the spiritual influence that, of course, has destroyed the lives of so many people within the music industry because they have sold their souls for rock and roll. They really have. That's the title, of course, of the DVD, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. We recommend it to you. Of course, we always, of course, have to mention my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, our talk on the secret or the forbidden secret, our talk on the financial Armageddon, on the world revolution, on sustainable development, on Iraq, the untold story, comes with a great syllabus, all sorts of documents in there about how all the wars have been contrived, and the wars are contrived, and the coming war with Iran is contrived, and it's going to bring horror to the people of the Middle East, but I fear it's going to bring horror to the people of our country as well. And all we can do is warn people here and hope that they will heed our warning. But there is behind everything going on today powerful spiritual forces, and I really fear that God is going to withdraw his blessing from this country, and we're going to see what happens when a nation turns against God, and you better be prepared for it, and you better have a personal relationship with our Lord, because it's the only thing that's going to see you through the very difficult times that lie ahead. Sydney, we have a great new DVD out. It's called The Specter That Haunts America. The Specter That Haunts America is going to the background of why we have so many people with degenerative central nervous system disease, why the incidence of Alzheimer's and dementia and Parkinson's is increasing, why we have so many children with neurodevelopmental abnormalities and asthma and allergies, and so many people with autoimmune disease. Why is there so much suffering in America today? I think you'll find The Specter That Haunts America will give you information you will not get elsewhere. Our telephone number again is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please tell others about our ministry. Tell them about our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can watch our DVDs. Go to our other website, videos around the web. You can read our newsletters.